Next case on our calendar is 95-1992, David E. Wise, Executor versus Thomas & Thomas Development Company. Mr. Kennedy.
Your Honor, my name is Eric Kennedy. I represent the appellant in this case, the State of Nelson Wise. I would also make comments this morning on behalf of the other appellant, State Auto. Request 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time on the clock there.
The first issues that we would like to address relate to appellee in this case, Drybull. Drybull was the owner of the rights to the gas well in question. Those relate to the propositions of law 1, 2, and 3. There was no issue in this case from the record below that Drybull knew nothing with respect to the dangers associated with the gas well. They knew nothing with respect to the proper maintenance of the gas well. Nothing with respect to the appropriate safety measures as that relates to a gas well. Our claim in this case was that the Drybull was negligent in its failure to do a one-time inspection of the private gas hookup between its well and the home of Nelson Weiss. The Court of Appeals rejected that argument and held that as a matter of law, there was no duty to do a one-time inspection of a private gas hookup from the well into the home.
The basis for their saying that was that there is no support for in the law for that. I know you say the cases have generally spoken to and that there's inherent danger to gas and I know your arguments, but the fact is that it's never been held to be a duty to make an initial one-time inspection. There's no statute that says that.
Right. Yes.
And there's no case that says that.
That is correct.
You're going to want to make some new law here on that issue.
Yes.
And then you're going to want to make some new law on the issue about, now, I think the way I read it, you'll have a cause of action for the negligent recommendation of a plumber to your predecessor in interest.
Yes, with respect to...
And that would be new law too, wouldn't it?
No, you
wouldn't. Negligent recommendation?
I think this court has recognized that when one undertakes a duty of responsibility and another relies upon that undertaking, that the duty of reasonable care arises. All of the different fact patterns...
But nobody performed anything. What they did was recommend, right? The parties that are still in it,
yes.
Not Drybull, but Leahy and TT. Yeah.
Yes.
Assert as your basis is that they recommended the plumber.
Yes.
And it was a negligent recommendation, and which of course presumes that they would have known that he couldn't do this. We have to know. I'm having a lot of trouble with it. That we would, if anyone who would recommend to a neighbor or friend, somebody to help them out to do some work, would have to do it and make sure they have all kinds of information, the CV for this person, how many times they put in a new sump pump. I mean, isn't that kind of a big stretch in the law?
Your Honor, we're not dealing with a neighbor, because I don't think a person would reasonably be relying upon their neighbor for such a recommendation. We're talking about a large construction company in the business of building homes. You're talking about one of their supervisors, Patrick Leahy, it was his job to supervise the construction of homes. We're talking about an agreement documented by a memorandum between Thomas & Thomas and Mr. Richter with respect to their assistance in building the home at cost. Mr. Leahy supervised the construction, number one. Mr. Leahy recommended all of the subcontractors, he took all the bids from the subcontractors. Mr. Leahy not only supervised, but he also inspected the work of the subcontractors, and specifically inspected the work of Eric Gemple. In that position, Mr. Richter said he was relying upon Thomas & Thomas, he was relying upon Mr. Leahy for their supervision and expertise. And if that reliance is reasonable, under the law of the state of Ohio, a duty arises. And we believe a duty arises under the circumstances of this case.
But does that principle, if we were to adopt that principle of law in this case, would it be logical then to extend it to architects and builders and anyone who knows that who someone might say, well, who do I get now to do the electrical work? Who would I get the plumbing work on my remodeling of my house? And and so the architect or builder recommends, here's three names. I've had good luck with all of them. We would logically then extend that liability back to them, I guess. Is that right? My concern is that what we do with law like this, it seems to me, if you want to take it all the way worst extreme, is that we discourage persons like that from giving recommendations to other persons who don't have any idea who to hire.
Well, you know, I think that in an informal setting, a social setting, getting back to the neighbor, a cocktail party, you're asking an architect, who do you recommend? That's one service.
No, I'm talking about an architect who you've hired, the homeowner's hired to do an improvement on their house, and you say, I'm going to need a plumber. And let's assume there's no general contractor. You're just doing it. You're the general. The homeowner's a general contractor. You've got to improve your house, and you want to hire the electrician, and you want to hire the plumber, and all this sort of thing. And the architect, take the architect for example, says, well, you know, here are three companies that we've dealt with, and they do good work. It turns out on your house they don't do such good work. You take one of them, and they do a bad job. I guess I'm concerned about rolling this negligence, this duty, back to someone in that situation. Or is that the law now, and should it be?
Well, Your Honor, again, I think if that architect were to contractually agree to supervise the construction, were to actually come out and inspect the construction on a regular basis, were to in writing recommend to you appropriate subcontractors, I think that the duty and responsibility then would extend to the architect.
What would the standard of care be? Let's try and articulate the standard of care in making a recommendation. Because what you have here is evidence of having recommended. Maybe it wasn't the subject of the summary judgment, whether or not the recommendation was negligent. Okay, we know that there was an accident, and we know this plumber was, you know, that the piping maybe it wasn't wonderful. We don't know, I gather, that it maybe hasn't yet been challenged on summary, whether or not that recommendation was negligent. But frankly, I'm wondering, what's the standard of care for one making a recommendation? What would we have to do to make sure that we aren't being negligent in recommending?
Well, Your Honor, I think it would be the standard of care would seem to be a reasonable standard of care. And our court started with
Gideon. So what kind of conduct would I have to do to make a proper non-negligent recommendation of a contractor to someone who asked me?
Your Honor, first of all, it would be a jury question. Second of all, a simple question. Mr. Gemmel, have you ever done this before? When he answered no.
That would establish that that it was a negligent recommendation, that nobody couldn't.
When Mr. Carroll says, I've never done it before, I don't know how to do it, I don't know anything about the safety features that need to be incorporated in the delivery of an inherently dangerous substance into someone's home,
and
I think there'd be a failure of care.
Brickner didn't ask those questions, I gather.
Brickner did not. He relied upon Thomas & Thomas and Patrick Leahy to recommend to him appropriate subcontractors.
Counsel, were all the parties summaried out? I think, except one, and you dismissed one, I believe.
Your Honor, we resolved the case with Mr. Brickner. And we also resolved the case with the manufacturer of the regulator that failed.
Okay. All the other parties were summaried out?
Yes, sir.
There's a statement in your brief that says that in the trial court below, all experts agree that the private gas delivery system of the White House was negligently installed.
Yes.
Well, who negligently installed it that you didn't name in the lawsuit?
Well, Harry Gemmel, Mr. Brickner maintains that the installation of the design was done by Harry Gemmel, the plumber.
Okay, he was not named in the lawsuit?
Harry Gemmel, yes, Your Honor. He was named and is an appellee in this case.
He was summaried out?
Yes, Your Honor. Because of lack of privity.
So someone was negligent in the installation of this pipe connection?
Well, actually, what was done, Your Honor, was a failure to put a filter between the gas well itself and the regulator. When the gas comes out of the well, it's dirty, it's got debris and dirt in it. If it's not filtered before it goes into the regulator, over time it will corrode the regulator, cause the regulator to fail, which will then take the gas where the pressure's been reduced, make it exceed that allowable in the pipe. pipe split, the home would go with gas.
How many people testified or by affidavit, by deposition, that it was the standard operating procedure in the industry that the gas company had to make an initial inspection?
Three. One, Mr. Moore, who has 30 years experience in the private gas industry, who is the vice president of KST company that owns over 600 private wells in the state of Ohio. He said, testified by affidavit, it was the custom and practice. A gentleman who works in the public gas industry, public utility industry, testified it was their standard and practice. And a gentleman, Mr. Olesko, who is now an employee at East Ohio Gas Company, testified it was their standard and practice to do an initial inspection in all the custom homes.
But did any of them say that they were obligated to do that?
No, Your Honor, they just said that is the custom and practice.
They just felt that that was the best course of business considering the product involved to make the initial inspection.
Well, Your Honor, whether or not they've read the Shearer decision, which is a New York case that says it's a jury question, or whether or not they've looked at the dictum cases, which seem to be saying that there is no responsibility to do a continuous inspection once we have an initial inspection, they're interpreting that to mean that we have to do a one-time inspection. I don't know. There is no case in Ohio that deals with the issue of, Your Honor, a one-time inspection.
Would that one-time inspection differ versus a public company versus a private company?
Your Honor, we don't believe so. Number one, both are dealing with what the courts have recognized as an inherently dangerous substance, number one. And number two, if the courts often look to what is the extent of the burden that we're going to impose upon a party if we require them to do a certain act. And we would submit to the court that if you were to impose this duty and responsibility, say, on a public utility with tens of thousands of customers, which is what the court did in Schmier, the argument is even stronger that someone like Drive-Over with 7 customers should do the one-time inspection. The obligation on their part was nothing more to make a phone call, look at the gas wellhead that they visit once a month, look at the blueprints, the plan, call the person installed and say, you know, what did you do here? Not a major obligation on the part of the private well.
But isn't there a distinction between someone who delivers gas as part of their job, part of their profession, part of their business, versus somebody who's just simply operating a well on somebody's property and says, by the way, what are your perks if you can tap it and use so many cubic feet, but you design it and build it? Not, there seems to be a major distinction between a public utility who has gas lines already established in the business of delivering gas to customers versus this situation. If I see a very far cry, I don't understand how you get over that hurdle.
Well, Your Honor, there is a very big distinction. The big distinction is that public utility companies are heavily regulated by our legislature and administrative bodies. Private well owner is not. This public and the people on these lands need the assistance of the courts because these folks are not regulated by the legislature and not watched after by the administrative bodies of the state. So the distinction would be one is regulated heavily and one is not. One that is not, that being the private gas owner, they owe a large duty, we believe, because they're also dealing with a terribly dangerous substance, and they are not regulated.
Even when they're not in the business of doing that, you want to impose regulation upon them when they're not in the business of offering gas to customers?
Oh, Your Honor, they're very much in the business of offering gas to customers. This is done for profit by driving.
No, they're in the business of pumping gas out of the line and sending it to distributors. They don't offer gas to customers like somebody who has lines already installed and is delivering it to a home. There's a very big distinction in fact that I see.
They offer gas to customer Nelson Weissen to 6 others.
They actually sold the gas.
But that's part of the contract. As I read it, that's not, we're offering gas to you as a gas company. We're pumping, and if you want, as part of your payment, to take gas as well, I see a distinction between offering gas as a customer supplying gas versus you can take some gas as part of payment for one of your perks, basically. That's the distinction, right?
We look at, Your Honor, whether it's a monetary form of consideration or the right to come on the property, we look at both as consideration in two different forms. One is a customer, and the other is a supplier of gas. And whether in the nature of a public utility company, you're endangering tens of thousands of people, or in this situation, you're only endangering 7, we think that the obligation of duty is no different. One might receive more than 10,000.
Well, then how do you get past the proximate cause argument that, let's say we decide to impose this initial one-time inspection, then Weiss comes along and the Weiss buys the property, reroutes everything and takes out the only cleaner that they have. How do you get around that proximate cause argument?
Your Honor, no time First of all, at no time, the record below hasn't been developed, but what we do know, at no time did anyone touch this gas delivery system at the wellhead. Where the problem lies here is the failure to put in a filter at the wellhead. Certainly we had reconstruction up near the home, but the gas filter was going between the well.
Well, that's the affidavit
that
says that he took it out, that there was one filter that he took out. That was part of the record.
Well, Mr. Russell speaks about gas and never was involved with this home in any way. His review...
No, he's an expert.
Correct, but he's not speaking, Your Honor, of the filter that should exist between the wellhead and the regulator. That's never been an issue. That filter is within 2 feet of the wellhead. There's only 2 feet between the wellhead and the regulator. He's talking about another valve that may have existed up close to the home when the addition was put on and reconstructed.
Oh, so it's your statement then that a filter was never at the point of gas delivery.
It never existed between the well where dirty gas comes up and the regulator, which is 2 feet away.
Okay, there's a question whether it existed at the house.
Well, there's a question as to whether or not there's another safety mechanism up near the house so that if the regulator here failed, the regulator up near the house would save the people in the home.
That was what was altered by White, wasn't it?
Well, Your Honor, we certainly have different testimony in that. The testimony of Mrs. White says there was absolutely no alteration. We have testimony from an expert he believed there was. But that doesn't go to what we believe to be the primary failure in this system. And no one has ever disputed that it was negligent in not having a filter between the well itself and the radiator.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Bachman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is William Bachman, and I represent what has come to be known as the drywall defendants, appellees in this case. Also at counsel table were Peter Legend, representing Catherine Leahy, and Jared Henry Bruner, representing Thomas & Thomas. They have asked me to reserve for them at least 4 minutes, and I'll try to give the Court's questions to save some additional time for them. In reading the briefs and hearing the argument in this case, Your Honors, it's easy to lose sight of what is the primary negligence here. And that's the negligence of Harry Gemple, a plumber hired by John Brinkman, when he installed the original private delivery system. All the other negligence claims, including the negligence claims against my clients, the dry hole defendants, are premised on a failure to prevent Harry Gemple from committing negligence. And specifically with respect to my clients...
Is Harry Gemple still in this case?
He is, Justice Gold. Specifically with respect to my clients, the plaintiffs claim that we should have inspected Gemple's work and determined that it was negligently done. In other words, it is not malfeasance on the part of my clients, but nonfeasance on the part of my clients for which they are trying to attach liability.
It doesn't seem to be any dispute, as I can see, that Gemple did install a poor system, a negligent system.
That does not seem to be in dispute.
So clearly somebody bears liability.
Somebody bears liability, at least as an issue of material fact for further resolution at trial.
And when you have this supplier being a non-regulated quasi-public utility, who ought to make the inspection? Certainly, you're not going to let Gemple inspect his own work. You can't expect the owner to do it. Why wouldn't it fall to Drywall or people supplying?
It wouldn't fall to Drywall because as between Drywall and the property owner, they're both equally situated, both in an equal situation, and equally capable of supervising Gemple's work. We have here Drywall, that basically is a well operator, as Justice Stratton pointed out. They don't have any staff on board that inspects private delivery systems. They don't have any expertise with respect to private delivery systems.
In other words, you're saying that Drywall was no more capable, even though they're in the business, than Weiss, of looking to see if this was properly regulated.
That's correct, because both would have to go out and hire an independent contractor to come in and take a look at the system.
Then you go down the line, and I have trouble seeing how Thomas & Thomas would have any liability with it, because they were not there. Brinkner, of course, is a party that's been settled. You got nobody, then, who's going to inspect these. Your client can can provide this kind of lethal operation to an unsuspecting property owner and cause no liability.
No court other than the Schmier Court has spoken to this duty to do an initial inspection. What the Schmier Court says, and it's a question of fact that should be resolved by a jury. In Ohio, duty is a question of law that should be decided by the court. It was decided by the court in this instance. If you take a look at the law on nonfeasance as set forth in Hill and the Gelman cases, this court has adopted the restatement second of tort section 314 and 315. It says there is no duty unless there is a special relationship either between the defendant and the plaintiff or the defendant and the third party. If you take a look at the category set up by the restatement for special relationships, my client doesn't fit into any of those special relationships. So then the only argument that they have, and they never addressed the restatement analysis. They didn't do it in the Court of Appeals, and they didn't do it in their two briefs here. So then they go to the Schmier case and say, based on the Schmier case, you should adopt the same rule and you should submit this to the jury for a decision. There is a real difference between a public utility situation and a situation where you have a private well. First of all, the public utility is in the business of delivering the gas to the customer's premises for sale of the premises. Here, as Justice Stratton pointed out, the landowner basically owns this natural gas, leases the right to take the natural gas to a private well owner, and as part of the consideration, reserves to itself some of that natural gas. In a situation where you have a public utility, before you get service from a public utility, they send out employees who they have on staff who are trained in gas delivery systems to come out and do two things. Number one, they open up the line from the street, and number two, they activate the meter. You have these people in the home at the time.
Dan, let's look at the other side of it, because Brickner, in his testimony or his deposition, said specifically that Tri-Pol monitored the amount of gas used by Brickner and also inspected the wellhead monthly.
That's correct. They did monitor.
I thought they had no staff.
One person can do that. And that was Lyle Hughes.
And couldn't the one person also inspect the operation to see if it was safe?
Lyle Hughes was not in the business of delivering gas to customers. His business was operating a well. It wasn't the type of business that a public utility does in selling that gas through private delivery systems to homes.
Every month,
therefore, he had to hire somebody to come out and do it.
Every month when he inspected the wellhead, what would he have been looking for?
He's looking to see if the well is still operating, if there's any problems at the wellhead, and what type of production he's getting out of the well.
So he was an expert enough to determine if there was a problem and how that problem
at
had to take
well.
Care of.
At the well. But more appropriately, if you read his deposition, if there was a problem at the well, he would have to hire somebody else to come in and take a look at it.
Counsel, before we move on, explain to me the ownership interests here, the beneficiaries of this gas. Who owns this well?
The property is owned by Brickner.
Okay.
He leases, he gives a lease to Dreibel that permits Dreibel to come on the property from a single well to extract gas.
Right.
And as consideration for that, he reserves to himself a certain amount of the gas that's extracted.
Does Dreibel pay Brickner, the owner of this property, anything for the gas extracted?
No.
So,
as I read the lease, the only consideration going back to Brickner is his right to.
So the total compensation is your client drills this well, he gets all the gas, and his compensation is that he delivers gas at an amount of 200,000 cubic feet a year, something like that, to the owner of the real estate.
He doesn't deliver it. The owner comes up and taps into it and takes for himself so much gas. See, that's the difference between a public utility. In a public utility, they bring the gas up to the meter. In this situation, the customer comes up to the well and takes it there.
His obligation to compensate for the privilege of taking this gas out of there is to provide X number of cubic feet a year of gas to this home.
That's correct, but he, okay. But he doesn't deliver it to the homeowner. The homeowner comes up to the well and taps in for it.
Right. But your guy shoots the well. Your guy has the, what, the five, was 500, the pressure. It's 500 at the wellhead. What's the pressure?
I'm sorry, Justice Piper, I don't have that number.
Okay, but it's substantially more than you would. And so it's his apparatus that brings this all up. And it's his obligation in return for the privilege of sinking this well and harvesting the gas to provide to the homeowner X number of cubic feet of gas per year.
To permit the homeowner to take so many cubic feet of gas.
And the homeowner does that by hooking into your system.
Right.
Now, as to who should have the duty, which is what this all comes down to, it's your position that the homeowner should have all duty to know what he's doing or his contractors are doing when they hook into this system that you've put in his backyard.
His contractor has the responsibility to install the system. His contractor has the responsibility to maintain the system. The homeowner has the responsibility to install the system and to maintain the system. And he hires a contractor.
Does your contract say that the homeowner shall have all the responsibility in making sure that this hookup is done correctly and that your client shall have none?
What it says is that the homeowner shall have the responsibility for the installation and maintenance of the system, and that my client will have no responsibility for any damage or injury caused by the taking of natural gas through that system. That's what it says.
But at the point of hooking up, I mean, you're not going to let Joe Schmo, you wouldn't let me come out there with a pipe wrench and some pipe to your well and say, well, I'm here on behalf of the homeowner to get my gas, to get his gas. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Well, if you came out and represented that you were the contractor who had been hired by the homeowner to do it, I don't see that
The reason you wouldn't do that is I could damage the living daylights out of your property if I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, if you represent that you were the person who was hired under the contract, the well owner, who's the lessee on the property, would have no right to stop you. If you came in and said, you know, I'm totally incompetent, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I show up with a blowtorch instead of a pipe wrench.
The fact of the matter is,
you would just stand.
Well, but the facts of record, Justice.
Even
Piper,
you wouldn't do that, yes,
Justice Piper. The facts of record are.
And you wouldn't be there alone.
Record has to go out.
He'd be in the next
and do this hookup. Drywall only comes by occasionally. Gemple came out. There was no notice to Drywall that he was going to do this. There was no request by Grittner for any advice, and there was no reliance by Grittner on Drywall to do anything.
Did Drywall, after the connection had been made, inspect it to make sure it was done properly at their site?
I don't think the record reflects one way or another what was done in that instance. I'm sure that in looking at the connection to make sure there was no leak between the private system and the well,
that's something that once a month fellow would do when he came out?
Well, I'm sure when he came out there, he was looking to see if there was any natural gas leaking. To make sure that the connection at the well had, you know, that it wasn't leaking, but in terms of evaluating the design of the delivery system downstream, that wasn't done.
Not inspecting at the wellhead certainly wouldn't be good practice for a dry hole. They want to make sure that's in their hole and properly done, so there's no leaks and nothing
that,
is done
that
create a dangerous situation at their site.
That's correct, Justice King, but we're not talking about a dangerous condition at their site. We're talking about
evaluating
a
evaluating the actual devices.
I understand that, but I just want to know whether or not they thought they had a duty then to inspect to see whether or not that was attached properly, that's all.
Whether or not it was a proper connection and it wasn't leaking, yes. But in terms of evaluating what they put downstream,
you didn't care
they didn't have a duty.
Whose meter is determining how much gas the homeowner was taking?
The homeowner's meter. That's part of the contract. They are to purchase and install and maintain their meter.
But your guy goes out there every month and looks at the homeowner's meter.
I assume that's done just to see what's going on.
Council, are you going to address privity or
No, they're going to address privity. Justice Stratton.
You better. They have less than 2 minutes, so probably better give them some time if you want to. Mr. Lipchin.
My name is George Lipchin. I'm one of the firm names, and I represent Patrick Blake. Let me respond to Justice Brooks and Chief Justice Warren's statement about negligent recommendations. This is not in the record, but if I recommend to Eric Kennedy's firm, which is one of the lowest in Cleveland, a lady in the breast implant area that they represent, and I talk to you that I've done this, and someone in Mr. Kennedy's office, which I would doubt very much, commits malpractice. My response? That's exactly what they're asking you to hold Dr. Blake responsible for. My recommendation, I know that Eric's firm is competent lawyers. Mr. Leahy recommended on this record a plumber, not even recommended, he put down a list of subcontractors for him to look at. And Mr. Leahy knew that this was a plumber. And Mr. Kennedy's record indicates plumber. Plumbers in the industry, as Mr. Leahy has put his affidavit, are inside people. They do not go beyond. They are not gas people.
Mr. Lutzer, everybody agrees that something was done negligently. Who, in your estimation, did that?
Mr. Gemple.
Mr. Gemple is solely responsible for the explosion that occurred.
I cannot address the issues with drywall, Your Honor. We were devoid. I mean, we're not involved in that specifically. I can't address that. There may be an issue of fact. I don't believe there is.
Mr. Gemple's still in the case?
Mr. Gemple's attorney did not file a brief for this court. I spoke to Mr. Phil Lawrence, his attorney, yesterday. He advised that he would not be here today. Another thing that I thought that I lost track of in doing the briefing and discussing this was that what I thought about on behalf of my friend and client, Patrick Blake, is simply a genuine issue of material fact. We've got stacks of briefs, a genuine issue of material fact. Now let me, if I may, take 30 seconds to tell you exactly why no genuine issue of material fact relates to Mr. Leahy, and he should not go before a county hearing for a complaint period. In Mr. Brickman's deposition at page 119 and 120, the only citation I'll give you, he says, Mr. Brickman, no information of any kind from any source came to his attention. What role Leahy played with regard to the gas delivery system? Same page. Leahy never told him, that is, Rick, the owner, that he had anything to do with the gas delivery system. Number three. Plumber Gemple was the only, and I underline only, and I quote, Justices only, the only one who made any decisions regarding the gas flow. Mr. Leahy did not design, did not supervise, did not recommend a professional gas man. He had nothing to do with the delivery system. And there was
and
no
Leahy wasn't paid. Was Leahy paid? Leahy was not paid by Brick.
No, he was a friend.
Right. These are gratuitous things.
A 26-year-old fellow who was working with Thomas Thomas.
It's okay, you're not.
Page 46 of Gemple's deposition, Your Honor.
You need to sum up your argument, Mr. Lipchin.
I believe that there's no duty, period, and the judge probably decided that. Look at every reference to Leahy, it has to do with a home. A home. There is no reference with regard to gas delivery system. Plumbers do homes. Thank you very much.
Mr. Lipton, Mr. Brunner, give you a minute.
With the Robert Moore's testimony that the custom in the industry was for the company to inspect these?
We have nothing to do with the system, Your Honor. I really don't have a position on that. I know that that's what they said. I don't know. And my clients did not install this system or other systems like this, so we don't know. It was installed by Mr. Bricker. Somebody mentioned privity. There's no dispute, there's no privity between the appellants and any of the Thomas and Thomas entities. It's judicially admitted that Mr. Bricker was his own general contractor. None of the Thomas and Thomas entities were builders, contractors, sellers, or subcontractors for the gas delivery system. Mr. Lucian said any involvement that any Thomas and Thomas personnel as a favor gratuitously rented to Mr. Brecker was on the house, not the gas delivery system. Nobody disputes that neither Mr. Leahy, who's a contestant, or anybody else at Thomas and Thomas was involved with the gas delivery system. It's interesting.
You need to sum up, Mr. Brecker.
2 points, Your Honor. Mr. Gemple's deposition, May 77. He says that he never saw any Thomas and Thomas people around the house when he was working there, that he was working on Jack Richter's house, Jack Richter paid him, and he didn't think Thomas and Thomas was building the house. No Thomas and Thomas employee or entity company got any compensation for this. Mr. Richter was a general contractor. Reference to a lot of documents. Source unknown. As far as the original. In the public brief, had Thomas and Thomas' name all over. Jack Brickner was an engineer. He testified that he participated in the selection of subcontractors for Thomas and Thomas projects. He testified that recommendations were made to him. He selected all the subcontractors. He used, and I don't begrudge him, he used his position at Thomas & Thomas to cut good deals with subcontractors.
And you've used your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kennedy, you've used your time, but take a minute for rebuttal.
Your Honor, I think that the counsel for Patrick Leahy stated it absolutely appropriately. What exists here with respect to Thomas & Thomas, what exists here with respect to Patrick Leahy particularly, is a genuine issue of fact. The law in Ohio is clear that when we have a genuine issue of fact, that is for jury determination, it's not something that should be the subject of a summary judgment.
Mr. Kennedy, let me make sure I understand what the status of the case is. There's a settlement with Mr. Brickner, right, the original owner?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Mr. Gemple, what's his status?
He is an appellee in this case.
Okay, so it's a summary judgment in his favor.
Yes, sir.
It's been affirmed by the Court of Appeals. Yeah.
Your Honor, with respect to Patrick Leahy, stated he had nothing to do with the private gas delivery system. We have the testimony of Mr. Brickner, Supplement 3, page 90, where Mr. Brickner states that Mr. Leahy knew that Gimple would be the one to install the private gas delivery system. Secondly, supplement 3, page 93, can testify to that Mr. Leahy inspected the work of Mr. Gimple. What we have is clearly a genuine issue of fact here for jury determination. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.